You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Christy Kaplan, and she shares a story of how her life changed when she was laid off from her job when she was coming back to work with an 8-week-old baby at home. I know, that is not the back-to-work experience that we dream of. Nope. We talk about what impact that had on her mindset, her relationship at home, and all the things. She shares the decisions that she made both right away and also a little further down the line and how they have changed the direction of her life professionally and just overall. All right, I think you're going to love this, so let's get started. Christy Kaplan, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
I am. Thank you, Amy.
Yay! I start all of my conversations with my guests asking them the same question. What part of the world do you call home?
I'm here in Dallas, Texas.
I was supposed to be in Dallas, Texas. Well, never. I was never supposed to be. I was invited to a conference in Dallas, Texas this week, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, no. If I'm going, because I live in Miami, Florida, I was like, if I'm traveling in August, it's to get away from the heat, not to go to another hot place. Do love Texas brisket. Do love that. Do love that. All right. So what is your favorite way to transition from busy time, from being busy, to downtime?
Yeah, I'm very busy. I work many contract jobs and also have a 2.5-year-old boy and a house and a husband and a business. And I'm also putting on a public art exhibit. So my life is very full right now with family and everything too. So, but downtime, I prioritize it with my husband. I prioritize it with my art, especially too, just getting, it's almost a form of meditation to a degree. You're just doing it for sometimes hours on end. I don't always have the time, but I make the time for it. So downtime is very important because as a very creative person who works with very creative folks as well, it's such an important part of that balance for, you know, just having a healthy mindset, but also being productive when you need to be.
Very nice. Very nice. So we are going to talk about a roller coaster period of your life. And this starts when you were laid off just 8 weeks after you had a baby. And to that, I say, yikes. Are you ready to talk about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So then this is about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2.25 years ago is when this happened. This is the same. This is the 2-year-old baby that's running around the house now.
It is. Oh, yes. Yeah. Energy. Yep.
Very good. All right. So I think everybody knows that losing a job sucks. Making a career pivot is hard. Before we talk about that and how it changed your life, let's talk about what life was like before this happened. So if you were to go back maybe a year, maybe two before this, you know, did you like this job that you had?
Yeah. I was working at a pretty large consultancy. They recently actually just got bought out by IBM, but I was working as a manager for product designers here in Dallas, Texas. So I was doing a lot of work with consulting with Fortune 100s and 500s, as well as a well-funded startup. So it was a good job. I wanted to grow, and I kind of hit a ceiling there in terms of where I wanted to grow. And that's what led me to that next job that I then got laid off from. So,
okay. All right. So before this, and then you went there. So were you and your family on solid financial footing before the layoff?
We were kind of. So the job that I left, the consultancy, I went to go do a well-funded startup out in California. And I say this was, every time I reflect on this job, it was honestly one of the best jobs I've ever had. Again, it was a startup. So me and my husband had to talk a lot about, you know, well, It's you never know what's going to happen, right? And even though they were well funded, they had their seed round going into Series A, but you never know. So we saved a lot for the baby that we were planning on having, and we had a very good nest egg for that. Where everything kind of fell apart was, as first-time parents with big medical bills from the pregnancy and from the double birth, I call it, because it was a bit of a nightmare one. We didn't do a payment plan, and I wish I did. I wish we did that. I wish more people thought about that. So we're in a tough spot 8 weeks postpartum, and I had to find a job within months, or we would have to sell our home.
So it sounds like to me, listening to this, that you guys are planners when it comes to finance, and may like not necessarily like this was a, working for a startup is a risky proposition, a speculative move kind of thing. But it sounds like you guys went into it with conservative hats on, cautious. We're trying to be careful. You'd saved. You had some unexpected medical expenses. So for the people, I mean, I guess this is pretty globally famous, but for the people who are listening from outside of the United States, it's very expensive to have a baby in the United States sometimes, depending on what your insurance does and who you are and where you're living. And I don't know, did you like this is like a personal question. You can tell me to buzz off. Was with a startup, insurance sometimes is not awesome.
Right. Yeah. So we were on my husband's insurance. He's a certified hand therapist. So he worked for, many different clinics in the area. And he's building up his practice too. But, it was just a it was the right move for me in my career. Life-wise, it was a bit of a risk, and turned out to be, but it was a huge turning point in my life, and I can't wait to talk about that too, because
So did you guys, before we talk about the change, did you guys move to California or were you working remotely from Texas in California?
working remotely, and I was traveling there once a month.
Okay. All right. So you're working remotely, you have a startup, your husband is also, it sounds like an entrepreneur, like build it's sort of building his practice, building his hand practice. Were the layoffs a shock when they happened, or were you aware that there were finance things happening in the company that might lead to layoffs.
The only warning sign we had was it was at the time Silicon Valley banks were closing down.
Okay. That happened fast.
It did. It did. It was all within a month, and I was asked to join a Zoom call on a Monday that I was off, because I came back. My plan was to come back after postpartum, like, start work certain days and stuff like that. So I don't know, I was asked to come in on join a Zoom call on Monday on a day I was actually helping my friend, another postpartum mama, clean her bathroom because we help each other. That's what mamas do. And got the call, and she's like, can you join this all hands? And then that led to the entire product department getting laid off.
A
So,
massive reduction in force.
yeah.
All right. So then that answers my next question. So you had come back, or you were beginning to come back from your scheduled maternity leave. And if so, how did that feel coming back for you? This is a personal question. Again, you can tell me to buzz off, but it is one of the things that is relevant to women who are making career changes and decisions and things like that. So how were you feeling about coming back to work with an 8-week-old baby that is, it sounds like it's your first baby. Were you happy about it? Did it feel like it was, stressful? How was that for you?
Yeah, no, I really look forward to it. I've always loved work, and especially the team I was with. They had a lot of young kids too, so they were very understanding, and they knew the spot I was in. And I was looking forward to it. I love my baby, and I love spending time with him. But we ended up doing like 2 day a week daycare, so I could work the days that I needed to. And then he got to be in school for a bit. But yeah, I made it work in terms of we basically sat back, and before I left on maternity leave months before, me and my manager put together a plan of like how I wanted to come back. So it was very like, I think every Friday off for like the month or something, and then I would start slowly go back to full time. So we had a whole plan, of course, and designed it to meet best the product that we were working on, as well as the team and myself.
Very nice. And so that's like a change. Like if you were to talk about how people came back to work and juggled childcare 10, 15 years ago, you'd have daycare, but then they would be going in person to an office. And it just occurred to me that you would go to offsite daycare, I think, but then come home to work from home, which is sort of a shift in the way people work in the last decade or so. Just an irrelevant observation from my little brain. All right. So but you get laid off. It's a shock. You're actually not scheduled to work. You get a call from the office or a text or an email that says, "Hey, can you join this meeting?" Did that feel like it was unusual to you? Was it a, were you like, "Oh, something must be up?" Were you like a little bit on guard when you came into the meeting?
I mean, it was the whole company. So, when it was our CEO talking about there's going to be changes, all this. I mean, my mindset was definitely not like getting laid off, but I had a little bit of an inkling. I'm like, maybe. But the following meeting after that was with my manager, and she had to let go of like myself and another designer as well. And I remember she was the one crying, and I was the one just. I wasn't upset. I honestly, maybe because from my rough, I guess, recovery from, surgery and everything, I was still in survival mindset. And
Okay.
I was like, okay, this is just triage. Let's just, I never cried once about it, actually, to this day about getting, I was just was like, okay, like, I got to figure out the next steps. Like, started calling immediately all my close networks and was able to get some pretty good leads there, but it was definitely took a couple months to land a full-time role after that, between everything.
So it's not the topic of our interview, but it's come up a couple of times, so I'll touch base on it. It sounds like your actual like physical process of bringing this beautiful new human to the world was more more complicated than expected.
It
And
was.
so you were still maybe healing and recovering emotionally from that at 8 weeks. And the only reason that that's relevant to this conversation is that it probably does, whenever you have those layers of complication and layers of stress, it changes the way we feel as we're making the decisions. So that might be where that is relevant. Okay, so this, what was life like in your house the day that this happens and you tell your husband while you're holding your bouncing little baby on your lap, like, "Hey, guess what? I've been laid off."
I it's pretty bad. I mean, we sat there and my husband is in fix it mode and I was in fix it mode, and we, we're both really strong planners, but we're also like, well, we knew this was going to be one of the risks working at that job. Even though it did wonders for my career, still to this day it's one of the best products and people I've ever worked with. And I mean, we just sat there and we're like, okay, like we got to do this. We got to shuffle things here and there. Thankfully, we had some family and friends nearby that were, willing to help us if needed. But we were like, no, we did this. We're gonna figure this out. I mean, it was just we both sat down, wrote out a plan, figured out where we can pull resources from, and we made it happen. It was. I have a very funny story, and I'm a complete open book. So, I'd love to tell you the story too, about how just being, well, one, a new mom, but also laid off, but also managing a phone interview at the same time. It was one of the days my kid wasn't in daycare because that was the only way we could keep his spot in that daycare because we knew I was going to go back to work once I found a job. So I couldn't completely cancel daycare. So it was one of the days, it was like either a Tuesday or something. And I remember I was finishing up a pumping session because I went straight into pumping because, I knew I was going to go back to work. That was the whole plan. So we never, practiced latching or anything, maybe early days, but I just got into a really good rhythm and discipline for that. And then, so I was finishing up a pumping session and my kid was on the floor crawling, and I'm like, okay, he's doing good. And I had a phone interview. Thank goodness it wasn't a video call or anything like that. But and right when everything was starting to happen, My kiddo started to cry because he was hungry. And I was like, well, good thing I have fresh milk. We're good. But then I also had to go to the bathroom. And then also, the phone interview was about to start. I found myself, Amy, on the toilet, finishing up my pumping session, feeding my baby a bottle and holding him, and taking a phone interview. That was a moment I remember very clearly, and I told myself I will do everything in my power never to like have the postpartum experience that I had. And if that meant I get control over more of the work I do, which is why now I own a business. And then two, I wish I wasn't in the crazy stress mode that I found myself in, and I didn't really get to enjoy the postpartum experience that many mothers do. So I'm looking for my do-over when we talk about another kid in the near future. Well, far future, but near future kind of
But in the
things.
future, in the future. That is a funny visual. That is a funny visual. But I think
Yes,
it's
it was.
definitely life with small kids around puts you in crazy situations like that sometimes. Not, I have not had that situation definitely for myself. All right. So this does feel to me, as I hear you tell this story, like a lot of stress to be happening all at the same time. New baby, losing a job. Following up on a pretty intense delivery experience, new all of these things, job search. It's very clear. You described you and your husband as good planners. It's very clear that you guys are forward thinkers. I have this feeling that you guys work on checklists and spreadsheets, project management tools. I'm sure that it's very clear to me that you guys are organized. Tell me, let's talk a little bit about how you guys navigated this together, and any strain on the relationship, keeping the communication channels open. Were you guys a team working together? What was the stress like?
I mean, the stress was top. It was the most stressed we've been since we bought our house before, before all that, the market changed, thankfully. But it was probably the most testing in terms of not the relationship, but just, our perseverance and just heads down, just do the work, like don't complain, just show up and go do it. Like my husband was he went back to work 2 weeks after I gave birth, after it took a while for me to recover, so he wasn't even comfortable going to work, but he had to. And he never got paternity leave. The company didn't provide that, so he took 2 weeks unpaid, which was also something we didn't foresee, later down the road. But I mean, it was, we just kind of showed up and we did what we needed to do. It wasn't very much strain on the relationship. I mean, if me and my husband needed to sell the house, we would have, and just gotten a 2-bedroom apartment and, or moved in with one of our family members. Like, as long as we were in it together, of course we have like ideals for where we want our life to be, but we just knew. We supported each other a lot, and my husband was very much a caretaker, and that's what he does as an occupation. So, he was always taking care of, the kid and myself, especially after that recovery. So, it bonded us actually closer, and it reminds us, like, if we get in this position again, we've been here, we know what we need to do, and we know what worst case scenario looks like, and we're okay with that too.
That's really nice. There are hidden choices there. Like you shared that story. Thank you for sharing that about your relationship and how this brought you guys together. But that's a hidden choice, right? Because stress sometimes creates fissures and breaks in relationships. So you guys chose to work together and stay strong, and that's a part of the story for sure. So you shared with me on the intake form that you got a job quickly after this. You were even up for a promotion quickly. And then, very interestingly, I think you were told that you were too young for the promotion. So that's a fun thing to hear from somebody. You're too young. And that this placed a fire in you right then and there. That's the what you described. And so the question I have is a fire to do what?
Yeah, I have a 12-year career. I'm only 31. I know that sounds like, wow, you've been working forever, and I actually started my career at age 13, and back when magazines were still a thing, and I worked with my mom's her business company that she worked for. I was published in a magazine at 13 as the one of the editors in it. Like, I was always working since I was really young, and I just enjoyed it. And I have a very long career, and I've always done projects on the side. I've always had my own consulting work that I do, whether it's advisory or, support or even a website design back in the days. I always had something to do, an extra project. So I learned in life, like, I'm very, maybe because I'm organized, but I was very organized, and I was able to manage a lot of different work streams at once. And that led me to really understanding my capabilities. So the story about, that job I got after postpartum, it was something that it was a close connection, and I was like, awesome. Like, I just needed something. And it was local, it was nearby, it seemed like a small fit, like good fit. And yeah, I worked really hard. It was another consultancy, and I worked really hard to, work my way to establish a good standing there, because I wanted to, keep going in my career. I didn't know what that looked like yet, but something changed postpartum. Something changed in that experience when I was laid off. It maybe it's fears of not getting to control what happens in my life. And it really, what also solidified it was that conversation about being promoted. And one of the mentions was being too young. And I say this now, and I never did an exit interview or anything like that. I don't cause ripples or waves in companies. I just know there's so much going on. They don't need one more thing, to be honest. So I just knew from there, I was like, okay, this is not the right fit. They're obviously looking for someone that's not who I am, and maybe it's a perception thing. I don't know. But I just knew, okay, this isn't it. And I still had that gnawing feeling postpartum. I was like, there's something here that's changed in my brain, for the better. And that actually sparked me. One morning, I just woke up with why it was kind of an anger. It was, why don't I just do this myself? I'm capable. I've been doing this type of work for years, and I've done pitches. I've been selling biz dev, like many consultancies prior, and I was like, why don't I own this and do this myself? So I woke up one morning and formed an LLC, and I never looked back. So.
So that's a very interesting career pivot story. Not totally unexpected. A lot of people I talk to definitely and experience the change in what it's actually like to work once you have a small child. And I am older than you are, but for me, it was a surprise. It was a surprise how childcare didn't line up with the working hours. It was, I have a joke. I'm like, turns out, school is from, 8:30 to 3, but there's not really a job that is going to pay you a full-time salary from 8:30 to, 3, and off on all the holidays and come for all the shows and be there all of the time. And that was a surprise to me. It was like, oh, now I understand why all the women older than me went into business for themselves immediately after they had children. Like, so it really, for me, it was a point of discovery that surprised me. Even though I had seen other people do it, sometimes you can't see it until it happens to you. So you wake up, you do a what is a pretty aggressive job search. You take a job because you need it. Your finances are more stable and secure when you have this other job. So you're making these decisions, and you do wake up and you're like, I want something different. I want more control over this something in my life. You form an LLC. So in times of stress, right, sometimes it can feel like we get tunnel vision. It's like a very, very myopic thing. We make the decisions that are most necessary in the moment, I think sometimes, which is a, that's good. And so when you think about the decisions that you made in this time after you were laid off when the baby was 8 weeks old, is there a single decision that just stands out to you as one that made a significant difference in your career pivot and where you are today?
Yeah, no, that definitely was a big one. It was, I never want to go through that again. Even the story I told you about, being on the toilet and finishing up a pumping session, I was like, this is not, I don't ever want to have to be forced to do this. Like, I want that to be a choice.
And is that the job hunt you didn't want to be, or what's the it in that sentence? Yeah, I don't
It's
want to.
the part experience
The
that I
postpartum experience.
out
Okay.
on. Yeah, I missed out on because of it's already stressful, but yes, add all the other layers to it. It was, I mean, it didn't, I feel like it would have broken me, and maybe it did in some ways, but it showed me like I am capable of more things, and I want to be able to choose what that is.
Okay. So then is that control over your time and your schedule so that you have the ability to choose your own postpartum experience? Is that what you would like the next time?
That and I know if I go into business for myself, I get more, maybe not control, but say in, not just the schedule and logistics. I think that's a big part of a lot of women too, is, we need a lot of, that, the schedules don't line up, or, you're taking on more work and you don't realize it. And then but it was more than that. It's more than the logistics, the timing, the time with the kiddo. 'Cause I had time, but it was very stressed time. It was very pressured, and it was less about that and more about the uncontrollable feeling I have whenever I was an FTE, a full-time employee. A
Okay.
lot of people don't realize that you don't have actually a lot of control in any scenario there. And that was kind of my wake up moment of, what I can control and what I can do is way more secure in the long run than a full-time position who can still lay you off whenever, and anything can happen. And everyone says that in business too, but you do get more say, and you do get more control. In manner, in different ways, right?
So then, what I think I'm hearing is, and I'll see if I can recap this, and if you agree, and tell me if you think I'm wrong. It's the realization, like you had a sensation of security, that you were tying to the full-time position, and when you realized that your perception of that security was not actually what it was like—that you were at risk at any time they had control over letting you go. You made the decision to make changes so that you had more autonomy over what was going on in your professional life.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was
Okay.
more security on knowing what I can do and pushing that, but also, the not being promoted part because of some factor that I could not change.
I think
That's
that it's so funny. It's so, there's all these rules, right, about how, and I'm not an expert on this, but there's all these rules about age and gender and all these things in the HR departments. And it's wild that it would not be on somebody's, watch list to say to not say to somebody, hey, this is, age. Like, I think that I'm not in HR, but I think you're supposed, if you, I think you're supposed to be like, it's for more experience, or you don't have the, I'm pretty sure that, pretty sure it's been a long time since I worked from somebody else, but I really am pretty confident that we're not supposed to tell people that things are directly age related. Could be totally wrong. Somebody can
No,
tell me.
you're right. You're right. And there was that, of course, but I don't know. I
Well,
never.
and the other thing is that right after you come back from a baby, that's one of the times. I mean, this was a reduction in force. This company laid off a huge section of people, but that's one of the times where you're supposed to be more secure in your job. You're supposed to be in a protected spot. So it doesn't always work out that way, but it is one of those things that it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be safe here, and it's not always true.
Yeah.
So, and that's not to say that anything bad about the companies that do that, because, you can't have a bunch of employees if you don't have any money to pay the payroll.
Exactly. So I went from one unsafe experience of being laid off to another unsafe experience of, this is not, I still don't have security. That still was, because of that factor. And it wasn't really matching my, the growth, and I was just angry. I was angry I didn't get the postmark experience I planned so hard for and set my family up for. And then I was angry about, I didn't get promoted because of, a factor. And it was, I don't know, it's just maybe that's what pressurized over a whole year. That was all in 1 year. It pressurized me into forming something and finally controlling something that I had a huge say in and that I could manage and also learn more about myself. But something changed in my brain postpartum. I wasn't the same, oh, I'll work for you, I'll do this. Something changed. Like I realized that I can do a lot more. And maybe that was due to that postpartum experience I had and all the things I had to manage.
Very possibly. All right. So you told us that you've been employed, hustling since you were 13. You've got all this experience. In a second, we're going to do the final fun questions, but I want to give people a chance. I want to give you a chance to tell the audience, you formed this LLC. Tell us what you do and how you want folks to find you online after they listen to the show.
Yeah, so I mean the LLC started in June 2024. We're about over a year, a little over a year now that since we formed the LLC. I say we, because a month in after forming it, I realized I don't want to do this alone. As any good designer, you're always collaborating. So I found some good coworkers or co-founders of mine through people I've worked with before in the past that I trust, and we have good relationships, and they balance me out in a way that calms me. They're a little more realistic, and I'm the visionary, and I always want to push things, or I have new ideas every day. So they ground me, and that's what my husband does for my family front. So in the business front, I have that person to lean on as well. And I mean, the work that we do, you probably hear of, startup life, people are getting VC money, people are looking for capital. Some people are building physical products, some people are building digital products. And our company, Startup Design Partners, focuses primarily on digital products. And we call ourselves venture and product designers. So not only are we designing products to meet end customers, like if you think of the app like Instacart, there's people there that, there's an audience, there's businesses that use it. There's, people like us, right, who need it, or a new mom who needs it dropped off of their door because they have a phone interview, right? So there are these products out there that exist, and we help primarily with forming those experiences through a lot of research, understanding who these audiences are, who your ICP is, your ideal customer profile, mapping out entire journeys of what it looks like holistically. And we've also taken this a bit more, this process that we do for building products, and now we have positioned it to helping forming businesses and founders who are actually starting from zero and they're trying to build something, whether they're by themselves, whether they have a small team, all the frameworks that we have used to build products, we are now taking to businesses and ventures because really the same principles apply. If you've heard of design thinking or anything where it's a collaborative iterative approach, that's the approach that we take. And it's all about understanding who you're talking to, actually mapping out things, doing some strategic work and planning before you just, vibe code something and go, right? It's thinking about something, taking a step back, asking the right questions. Not only have we built a consultancy, but really we knew for the long term for this product and this company to exist, we needed to have legs with it. We needed to create an ecosystem. Because again, we preach all about creating sustainable products. So we're doing that in terms of our venture and business as well. So not only do we have the consultancy aspect, but we also do a lot of advisory, which is actually the offer we're giving out to your audience. But we're also doing, we have also grown a community, a global community of designers like ourselves who have been top consultants and who've been freelancers their entire career. And they, as designers, we work better together. So we've created a community for them to collaborate on projects together. And also build their own products together. So future five-year vision is not only are we helping supporting the designers in the community, but we're also matching them with founders, which we're doing today actually. And we're also going to be building our own products in an incubator because our main mission is we believe every company should be design-led. And so one way we can do that is not just churn out products through our community of designers, but also help more early stage founders who are entering the marketplace at 10x speed because of all the AI products and tools out there that they can start doing things with. So it's just extending that knowledge that we've not gatekeeped, but a lot of incubators have gatekeeped for a long time, and it's opening that world up to other people who are looking to own a little bit more of their futures, just like I did, right? I wanted more control over the times I work, the what I contribute to the world, and then yeah, I mean, 10-year vision is if we don't get bought out by a venture fund studio, we could ideally start our own fund and go internal and start producing companies with that right mindset ahead. So that's a little bit about it. I know it's a
That's a
long-winded.
lot about it. No, that's a lot
A
about it.
lot of math,
I'm
yeah.
wondering. Like, I'm going to do an unofficial market survey. How many people listening to the show, like, understand like what it is exactly that you're talking about with the venture firms and the gatekeeping. But yeah, I think that it broad based over a lot. I think this is a kickback from what we would call generally the freelancer gig economy that we are now seeing for. In many different industries across the way, the indie creators, the small people are coming together to form collaboratives and their own ladders because the gatekeeping is also a launch pad for people. If you can get past the gatekeeping, then you can explode. But there's not really very many ladders to get up to that point. And so I'm seeing a lot of people in different places pulling together to form collaborative groups for small time. Indie stuff, everything from from books to all kind of things. So, and this you're doing this in terms of design. All right, so you do have a really generous thing for the audience. So it's a 1 hour complimentary venture product advisory session. And this is where you, a well-seasoned expert venture designer, will help to walk them through this framework, value proposition, mapping, design strategy, consultation, a bunch of things. The value is usually $250, but this is a special where you can get it for free. And there's an email that people can access to send it to you, which is hello@startupdesignpartners.com. That information for all the people who are watching and listening is in the show notes wherever you're watching the show. But the easiest way to get this information is always to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then I send it right to your email box. And the links and information about the offers from the guests are there. So you don't have to scrabble around and work for a piece of paper, or if you miss an episode, it's always a recap. It's like really, really the best thing to do to subscribe, be a part of my email community. I also send funny stories. All right. Christy, are you ready for the final three questions?
Yes, I've been looking forward to them. So let's do it.
All right. Did you watch TV when you were in high school? And if so, can you remember what was one of your favorite programs?
Did I watch TV in high school? Oh. No, I did not. That's probably, I really didn't. I, We grew up not poor, but we grew up, we didn't never had like we had videos and v and you know VCRs so and DVDs, I guess those rolled out after. Now I just watched a lot of movies with my siblings. I'm one out of five kids, so yeah, not a lot of TV shows that I
All
can remember.
right.
A lot of movies, a
What
lot
was
of
one
movies.
of your favorite movies then in high school that were on VHS or DVD in your house?
We go to the public library, my sister and I, and we'd rent out the season of Alias.
Okay.
So me and
There
my
we
sister
go.
had that, and we'd watch that a lot.
I very good. So randomly, because there's a bunch of kids in my family and they span a giant amount of years. It is only very recently that I no longer have a VHS machine because we had like a VHS library of like kids stuff that we would just keep, and we would pull out like this ancient VHS machine and the tapes to be able to play like the kid TVs. Like we didn't, so it's very, very recent. So recent, in fact, that within the last year, it was a family conversation. People were like, "Do we still have a VCR or a VHS player?" And we were like, "Do we? Is it somewhere?" And then it turns out, no, we don't. We don't anymore. We have DVD and we have all the other things, but we do not any longer have a VHS. Anyway, enough of the like Luddite stone family history. What is your feeling about reusable insulated water bottles? Do you think they are great or ridiculous? And if you like them, which brand do you use?
Re-insulated water bottles. I'm a big component of not waste. So anytime plastic water, I never buy, like, I don't do it. If I do, it's glass, try to recycle. But no, I guess my one that I use, it's so beat up
There you go.
now. I have it
There
right here. I don't know, Elo.
you go. Elo.
Elo.
All right, there you go.
It's great, it pops open. My kid knows how to use it 2.5 years.
Yeah.
He always asks for mama's water bottle. Yeah, it has a lock feature, everything. So yeah, I guess
You're a
that's
fan. There you go. All right. We mentioned actually this does have a tie-in to the interview, and though it wasn't on purpose, I write these questions well in advance. What is something that you're afraid of that you're willing to admit to the strangers who are listening or watching to the show?
afraid of. I'm very much afraid. Oh, it's gonna get deep, but I'm part excited, but also really afraid of what my kid's future is gonna be with how AI is forming so fast. It does keep me up at night. It does keep me up at night when I think about all the factors that. Is 4-year universities even going to be a thing?
Right.
Is what is the education system going to look like? Like, how, because again, I'm a planner, so it's, how can I prepare my kid best for this next era? And I don't think anyone knows yet what that's going to be. And, his future is going to be very vastly different than mine. But also, so were our parents, right? And their education.
Yes.
But it
Yeah.
is different exponentially. So that's what keeps me up at night, and that's what I'm afraid of right now.
No, yeah, that's a very good, that's a series of really really deep questions to ask and reasonable fears. It is fun to talk to people who are a lot older than we are and ask them about when they were young because I don't have any, I wasn't alive before the turn of the century or anything, so I don't have any actual perspective, but we do have this perception that things are changing more and faster than ever before. And that could be right. I'm not the person who can judge. But I remember sitting down and talking to one of the grandparents in our family, and they didn't have a TV. They listened to the radio. There was no phone. All of those things. And you think about the major changes that they have lived through. And it's like, and it's wild. And it's just wild to think about, but and I don't think that anybody can predict it, where it's going to go, but it can scare the ever living pants off you if you're not paying, if you focus on it too much. I feel you there very much. That's it, Christy Kaplan. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, Subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.